Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture, with your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection for Monday, October 7th, 2013. Tonight's guest is a finalist in the prestigious John Lennon Songwriting Contest, and her CD, Mismatched, is nominated in the Pop Contemporary Album category for this year's GMA Canada Covenant Awards. Mags Wang, a young singer-songwriter whose single Lead Me to the River talks about her personal journey out of depression and is a message she says the world needs to hear. Mags is in studio tonight to talk with us about her music and the CD. But first, let's listen to Lead Me to the River, from the Mismatched CD by Mags. And now to our interview with Mags. Good evening, Mags.
Good evening. How are you?
Good. Now, when did you start singing?
I started singing back in grade 9. I remember the first performance that I ever did was a coffee house. And so after that, I got a really good feedback. And after that, I started being a little bit more confident with my music.
And sort of what led you to the point where you're doing what you're doing now? What was sort of that? Take us on that journey.
Actually, Shining Star, back in 2009, I was in the Shining Star competition, and that's when really I started considering, the Christian local scene here, and started thinking, well, you know, they are actually very accepting and very supportive, so, mm-hmm. you know, it got me thinking. I was a finalist that year, and then after that, that Christmas, I was singing along to some karaoke Christmas carols in jazz, in a jazz voice, and my father overheard me, and he goes, "Hey, let's record this. This sounds really good. Let's record this. Let's send this off to my producer, Andy Horrocks in Kitchener," mm-hmm. and it kind of the ball went rolling from there. Andy got in a bunch of really amazing musicians, and we did a 10-hour. Session, just a one-day session, and that's how my first album, Dreaming mm-hmm. of Christmas, was made. And then after that, Dreaming of Christmas was nominated the following year for Best Seasonal Album. And so that's when I kind of got involved with the CGMA Awards and was affiliated with that. And yeah. then from there, I made my newest album, Mismatched. Mm-hmm. And that album was also very well received. Right now, it's nominated for the Best Contemporary Pop Album yeah. at the CGMAs. One of the songs, Lead Me to the River, was a finalist in the John Lennon Songwriting Contest.
Yeah. Well, I want to get into all that in a few moments, but I want to get a little bit more background on you. Now, you mentioned your father mm-hmm. listening to you and getting in touch with his producer. We got to let people know your dad Dave is involved with Critical Mass, a local group in this area mm-hmm. as well, that's been fairly well received as well. So you've got this whole background. Was that part of the influence for you as well? Was watching him, and you were probably dragged out to concerts that you didn't really want to go to. Was that part of your influence in terms of helping you go in that direction with your own music?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like, my dad has been so instrumental for you know, opening doors for me and pushing me through them, even when I didn't want to. But definitely, like, both my parents are very musically inclined. Mm-hmm. And so growing up, I was always surrounded, whether it was Critical Mass or, you know, DC Talk or Toby Mac or, you know, anyone, the Beatles. You know, it was very diverse growing up with the music and American Idol and all that. So, my parents have definitely had the greatest influence in my musical career.
Well, who have been some of the other influences that you've had as well in your music?
I would say watching American Idol and Canadian Idol kind of gave me a drive to keep trying to sing really well, right? Just, I don't know, something in my head, if I could sing as good as someone who passed auditions, then I would have a good enough voice to do anything. Like, that was my theory. So it really made me push hard. It's hard to pinpoint where my musical diversity comes from, because it was just, there's so many influences. I was always exposed to secular, not only just Christian artists, right, but secular artists as well, from many eras. So,
was there any one style that you kind of started leaning towards, and you know, even in your
a lot of Audio Adrenaline, Toby Mac, mm-hmm. Jars of Clay, those bands kind of captured me, and Kaylee Rain was another one. Just their lyrics were really clever and cool. So, and I liked the style of music. So that really kind of got me thinking, you know, Christian music is really, really interesting. It doesn't have to be about one thing, you know, so it's pretty diverse.
Well, and there's been a real movement, especially in the last decade and maybe, you know, more so in the last 5 years or so, of Christian artists who have just started writing music and writing lyrics on anything and everything. They've moved past that whole, you know, we have to have Jesus and God in every line type of thing. We can talk about relationships, we can talk about social issues, we can talk about different things that are going on in the world. But from our perspective as Christians, does that influence you as well, especially even as a songwriter yourself?
Oh, absolutely. I 100% believe, and I always have believed this, but I believe that as an artist, whether you're Christian or you're not, you always have to be honest about your feelings, right? Because people like people who are approachable, and people allow themselves to be helped by people who they could trust, who are, you know, so as a Christian artist especially, I find that's something we're struggling with in the Christian industry, is a lot of Christian artists right now, because they're so focused, which isn't a bad thing, but they're very focused on just producing songs that are strictly praise and worship songs, and they never talk about, you know, the struggles they go through and the sufferings they go through, which is a lot of the time more universally understood by people, rather than, you know, praising and feeling good and being in a good relationship with God at the time, you know. So I feel as an artist that being honest is the number one thing. Like, if you struggle with relationships, and then sing about it. You know, I sing about things that are important to me, and God very much speaks to me through both my sufferings and my joys. So as an artist, you can see in my music, I don't cater to any specific crowd. A lot of my songs I write for myself specifically. So it's definitely not just strictly praise and worship. A lot of it is talking about my struggles.
Well, I want to get into some more detail on that, but we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with our guest Mags and talk about her new CD, Mismatched. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station. Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Knock from the Mismatch CD by Mags. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to continue our conversation with Mags Wang. Looking at that whole aspect of songwriting and that, who have been your influences from a songwriting perspective? I know we talked about the music earlier, mm-hmm. but who are some of the songwriters that you look up to?
Actually, Taylor Swift. As cheesy as that is, you know, I love her style of songwriting. I can really relate to that. And actually, over the course of songwriting, as I've listened to more and more of her stuff, my stuff has not resembled hers more, but just the way she songwrites, the structures of hers, the way it's very personal, and mm-hmm. the way she uses third person and first person and to make it personal, and there's such an awesome balance she makes, and she's probably my favorite songwriting artist, so I really take after her. I love her.
Well, when you're looking at that, are you a lyrics first, a music first songwriter? Does sometimes both come?
Both. It's very much both. And my songwriting, my songs always come at the worst times, in a midterm, in a, you know, sitting down in an exam, driving somewhere late for something, and I have to stop and I have to, you know, get the song down. But how it happens for me is I hear the entirety of the song in my head. So it's not like I sit down and write the lyrics and, you know, it's structured and then I make, you know, the instrumentals for it. It's not that. Usually I hear it in my head, and from there I build up to what I've heard in my head. So mm-hmm. I build up to the final product that I already know and that I already hear in my head. So, and usually they just come, like I'll sit down. I remember 1 week I wrote probably 10 songs probably in a week that are probably all going to be on my next album. So
how long does it take you to go from that beginning idea to the sort of the song that you feel the most comfortable with starting to perform and maybe potentially looking? Because there's a process. From other songwriters, there's a process. You don't just use what first came out of your head. How long does it take you? What do you do? How do you go through that process?
Usually I just, you know, I'll write songs and get a, you know, there'll be a lot of them. And then usually what I do is I sit down with my producer and we pick and choose which ones we want to do, which ones are, you know, just to leave out. And from there, then we do the recording process.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned before we went to break about the fact that with your songs, and for you, a good song has to have, the emotion behind it. It has to be the story behind it. You know, if it's something about what's going on in your life, you want to be true to what's going on. And your first single, Take Me to the River, talks about your own journey through depression and that. Why did you decide to write about such a personal subject where, you know, a lot of people just say, yeah, that's a nice idea, but I'm going to leave it on the shelf for now. You know, what mm-hmm. made you decide to go that route?
Well, my struggles, as I said before, my struggles, I believe, are very, have been very instrumental in forming me, not even more so than the joys that I've had in my life. And so, Lead Me to the River, I wrote as a reminder to myself to never forget about the times that Jesus, you know, reached down into my life and pulled me out of a scary situation. I think it was back even as early as grade 9, I started having symptoms of depression, you know, like that pit in your stomach and starting to feel really worthless every day and, you know, losing motivation. And from there, you know, it was kind of good in a way. My anxiety pushed me to keep very motivated towards school. And soon, before I even knew it, I had really put my identity in the things that I was doing. So I was a top provincial goalie in both ringette and hockey. I was a top 90 student. You know, I was doing a lot of music stuff. And then all of a sudden, probably by grade 11, everything fell through. God stripped away everything that I had put my identity in. And this was such a crucial point in my life where I had to suddenly look in the face of who I am, you know, when I don't have these identities. And I because of my depression, it hit so bad by the time grade 11 came, that, you know, I stopped going to school. I went from being a high 90s student to, failing out. I lost the respect of my teammates because I wasn't able to perform well because my mind wasn't there. My grandma, who I absolutely adored, was diagnosed with cancer at the time, and all of this happened all at one time. Everything, you know, everything I put my value in was suddenly gone. And I remember standing out front of my house by this freeway, waiting for a transport truck to come down because I was going to kill myself. And it was 3 a.m. And I remember praying to God and just saying to him, you know, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I couldn't do it. You know, I tried my hardest. I did my best, but I need to have some rest now. And I remember just before I was about to jump in front of this transport truck, I heard a voice in my heart say, there's more than this. And I watched as the truck came and as it went by. And I was very shocked that I hadn't followed through, right? It was more shocking than if I had done it, because now what? Where do I go from here? And so from that point on, I really do believe that in itself was a conscious decision to believe that God was going to be faithful to his promise, that there was more than my depression. Mm-hmm. There was more than my sufferings and my anxiety in the situation I was in. And slowly from that point, I had to explain it like this, how exasperating it is to stand, to be standing in that position, because it was like standing in Times Square. Imagine you're in Times Square and all the billboards are ripped down and the buildings are burned to the ground and everything's just demolished, and you're told, okay, rebuild it. Rebuild to your former glory, right? And so it took me a lot of years. I was hospitalized. I went through medication, and it was a lot of suffering and a lot of humiliation and really trusting in God. But from that point, God really reached down and showed me, you know, even though you don't feel I'm there all the time, I'm always there with you, mm-hmm. even if you don't feel it. And so that's what Lead Me to the River was about. The verses are very much about, this was actually one of the only songs that I've ever written that I had to sit down and just, I made the song. You know, it didn't just come to me. I really structured it and I really thought about it. The verses were very much the negative side, you know, the sufferings. And then the chorus, lead me to the river, I believe. You know, the chorus and the bridge, Jesus, I trust in you. You're the only one I can come to. You know, so it was a great, really encompassed what I was going through at the time too, right? Suddenly, you know, I had high ups and high downs, right? Really depressed and then, you know, feeling better and then really depressed again, you know? And so the song really captured such a dark but such a beautiful part of my life where I really learned who God is and how much he loves me.
Mm-hmm. And I see on CD, and we have to tell people, when you hear the title Mismatched, you actually have done a play on words there with the term miss, M-I-S-S, matched. So for those of us who are editors out there, it's not a spelling error, but it's that whole play, like you said earlier, before mm-hmm. we came on, of you know, thinking at one point how you had it all together, but you really didn't, and how everything was sort of mismatched within you, and now all of that's been pulled back together because of your experiences. I think you've got on there recording a cover of Eleanor Rigby, the Beatles song, which is probably one of the most depressing songs there is out there. Yeah. But it all speaks to that loneliness and that message that you're trying to get out, that say there is hope in Christ.
Mm-hmm. The album cover was the name of it was. You know, it has different levels of wordplay, I guess, in it. First, the, you know, mismatched, when you look at it as the two separate words, you know, it's like a girl has it all together. And then, you know, you were talking about this, and then mismatched as in, you know, as a person, I'm very mismatched. If you know me as a person, anyone will say, like, this girl is very crazy. You know, she's not the typical girl. But as well, I meant it as on a more macro scale. As Christians, you know, we struggle so much with trying to be one thing, you know, and always trying to be holier and trying to be more Christ-like, and then always being mismatched, always having that part of you that's not quite there, not quite on it. And so you know, that's always struggling. And so that's another purpose of my title. I felt that as a first album name, as my first personal album name, it was very good as introducing myself to people, you know, this kind of mm-hmm. quirky and fun. But as well, you know, I have a serious side too. You know, I want to talk about these issues.
Right. Well, on that, we need to take one final break, and then we'll be back to wrap up our conversation with singer-songwriter Megs. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station.
Little by little, I've been dying. Lights have gone dim and the curtains close. I'm oh so tired of trying to find the answers, and I don't feel like searching anymore. You're all I really care about, my friend. To lose you would close the final door. There's so much love locked deep inside of me. Like a ship at sea, well, I've lost sight of the shore. And I don't want to spend my nights alone. And you're the only one I know that I can rely on. Like a little lost child, I need your shoulder to cry on. A harbor for my soul.
Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to I Need a Harper by Critical Mass, and as we've mentioned earlier, that's a local group that Dave Wang, Meg's dad, is part of. I'm your host, Robert White. We're going to finish up our conversation with Megs. So what's on your agenda? You know, are you doing CD release parties? Are you doing, you know, concerts? What's coming up for people if they want to try and hear you?
I have a few concerts coming up in October and November, and I'm going to be doing a lot of touring in May. So that's coming up with concerts. You can always check out my concert schedule on my website, megsthesinger.com, or on Facebook, Facebook/ Megs the Singer. Or Twitter, Megs the Singer. It's all Megs the Singer. That's the branding. And so with music, honestly, I always tell people, you know, I'm going to be doing concerts, so you don't worry. You can catch me at some concerts locally for sure. With music, you know, I'm still going to be coming out with albums. And don't worry, I won't be quitting anytime soon.
Mm-hmm. Are you looking at another CD in the near future at all, or...?
You know, it's hard to say, right? It's hard to say because, you know, albums are kind of like, you know, when you have, they take so much effort to make, right? It's like kids, right? You need to give them the attention they need, and then then you can have the next child, right? So, so I really have to make sure that mismatch gets the attention it deserves before I would make another album. So, I would say probably within the end of you know, a year from now, I'll definitely have some songs started. Mm-hmm. But right now, Mismatched is
the main one.
Yep.
Great. Well, Megs, thanks very much for your time tonight.
Oh, thank you so much. Thanks.
Yeah, and if anybody wants to know anything more about the Shining Star Christian Vocal Talent Competition, stay tuned to Faith FM or check out the website at www.shiningstarcontest.com. Well, thank you for listening to Arts Connection today. Thanking my guest, Mags. And if you miss a program and want to hear it again, look for an archive program on our website at www.selahministries.ca. Be sure to tune in next week for another look where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, email robert@selawministries, that's S-E-L-A-W ministries.ca, or follow us on Twitter at selaw13, S-E-L-A-W-13. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.
You've been listening to Arts Connection, a production of Say Lav Ministries. Be sure to tune in again next Thursday evening at 10, right here on Faith FM.